Welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change in our communities and beyond, and how today's choices will impact tomorrow's community. This program is a project of KCBX and its team of program hosts. Today, Chris Kington Barker speaks with representatives from Equine Experiences, Life Coaching with Horses, about the work they do. They'll discuss the inherent intuition, non-judgmental, present perspective that horses possess during interactions with humans. It's going to be an interesting conversation today, and we're glad that you're here with us. Our program is recorded today, but we do invite you to send any follow-up questions that you might have from this conversation to us at voices@kcbx.org. And with that, now let's join Chris Kington Barker and our guests. Over to you, Chris.
Thanks a lot, Brad. Nonprofits often fill service gaps in our community for the underserved or for services that would otherwise not be available. Employees and volunteers for nonprofits work from the heart more than for a hefty paycheck because funding for nonprofits is limited and unstable. My guests today have formed a special nonprofit, one dedicated to thanking other nonprofit staff and volunteers for their hard work and dedication by providing half or full day workshops for self-exploration and processing, team building, and a number of other ways that they may never have had gratitude expressed to them before. I'm visiting with Kasia Rother. How do you say your last name, Kasia?
Kasia Rother. Hello.
Rother? Okay, I was
Rother.
And Yuta Turner, Master Facilitators of Equus Coaching and co-partners in Life Coaching with Horses, a 501c3. Kasia and JT, thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
You know, when I was writing the intro there, I just thought, you know, the number of years since I've worked in nonprofits or volunteered for them, the biggest thing that we always had come up is how do you thank people that give from their heart, and it's a big thank you that you do. So one of the first things I want to do is I want to have you introduce a little bit about who you are and what it is to be a master facilitator of Equus and what Life Coaching with Horses is about. So Kasia,
sure.
Let's go.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. Chris, thank you for having us for this program. Well, there are so many things to be shared, but I'll try to be brief. So I'm going to speak for myself so JT can also chip in. I am a horse enthusiast, I guess you can call me like that. I have over two decades of experience in training and working with horses. And the longer I do it, the more I find myself to be this person, not an expert in horses training, but expert in listening to horses, in learning from horses. This horse training career has definitely changed my life for better. And at some point, I felt this strong drive to share it with other people. And so when Equus Coaching was one, which is one of the methods of healing and growing with horses out there, came around, I just immediately joined that. I got all the training that was needed to do so. I also got training in life coaching in general, training in grief education, and all those fit so well with horses and people together, serving the growth and facilitation.
And JT, I'll go over to you.
Yeah, so with me, it's similar than Kasia. I also grew up with horses. My parents had a big horse farm in Germany. My first 20 plus years in life, that's all I did was horses. And then I realized that as I was venturing out in other business opportunities, I missed the horses so much. So when I came over to the States, I immersed myself again in horses. And when I went, when I was in my 40s, all of a sudden, nothing that had to do with careers and money mattered anymore. And I was looking for something deeper. And the horses again came to the rescue. And just like Kasia, I ended up going into the doing the different training and really equus coaching. That's why we call us life coaching with horses, because many people don't really understand what equus coaching is. It is really coaching a person with the horse as the facilitator and the helper. That's what we often say. And I did the same. I went through the master training, which means we can coach larger groups. We got trained in that. The same with Akasha. I'm also a grief educator. And we are so blessed that we are able to do this work now for our community, because it truly also has changed my life.
And talk a little bit about where you're located. You're in the county of San Luis Obispo.
Yes, we are located a little bit outside of Paso Robles, about 15 minutes from Paso Robles towards the Nacimiento Lake community. And we are very fortunate that we can lease a ranch from my best friend that it's a private ranch where we have about 20 horses available to work with. And the nice thing about it being a private ranch is that the energy and the whole atmosphere is so special there, because you feel really at home when you come there, and it's just a really magical place.
Katia, did you want to say something?
I just wanted to add that because it's private, private ranch, it really supports that comfortable personal space for people to share with each other. There is no traffic. There's no accidental audience. It's a really safe space. And this ranch offers many different spaces throughout the ranch, which makes our work versatile and also available pretty much throughout the year.
When did you decide that you were going to take the equus coaching? Because the equus coaching originally was to be coaching people, but not necessarily this nonprofit work that you've started, right? How did you kind of evolve to this?
Well, for me, it never felt good to me to have it as a business, because we know from experience how beneficial this is. And it is very difficult for the regular person to afford a session. And so we really both felt that we wanted to make it available to the people that give the most. And as you said at the beginning of the program, nonprofits, the people not only who volunteer for them, but also the people who work for and with nonprofits are the ones that give and give and give. And it was really so important to us to make it available for nonprofits at a no cost, that we wanted to be able to be able to do that as a 501c, which is why we ended up switching over fairly quickly after we started doing this work together.
Talk a little bit about what the work is.
Well, we, as Jutta mentioned, we offer life coaching in the presence of horses. And to make it less sounding cryptic, basically we're talking about a time spent in the presence of horses in different various activities. All of them are on the ground with horses. We have a group of very safe, lovely horses there. And so people come and they get to spend time with horses, but also with themselves. Maybe away from work, maybe away from stressful situation. And in that space, what happens, people start feeling more, seeing more, connecting more with themselves through the presence of horses. When you think about, and Chris, you had a chance to experience that yourself, standing next to a live being that might be, 1,200 pounds, it's very hard to get by just with logic. Other states getting activated and emotions come in. People start feeling their body. People start feeling what's happening for them in the presence of such being. And horses being, as you mentioned earlier, non-judgmental, without any agenda, just basically reflecting one's state, can really effectively mirror people's inner states. And often it's an eye-opening experience, not to mention it's very tangible. It's not just in your head. You do get to have some hands-on physical contact, some less or more dynamic activities happening, some ideas that can be worked through and experimented with in a very safe space.
Talk about why an equine, why a horse is a perfect companion for this work.
We like working with horses because, as Kasia mentioned, they the way they live their lives is safety is important above anything else, because they are a preyed upon animal. You know, they can be eaten by other animals. Yeah. They are always looking out for each other in the herd. They need the safety of the herd. And if there is only one horse and you are with them, you become part of that herd. So now all of a sudden you are connected to that horse. And because horses' ability to mirror us and to read our biofeedback is what helps so much when we do the coaching. I often say, when we are with people, you can BS us, but you cannot BS the horse. And since we know how to read the horse, because that's what we learned, not just through our training as master facilitators, but also our, you know, decades-long experience training horses previously, we can tell by watching the horse what's really going on with the person. And it is so helpful for us in be able to then lead people into maybe a discovery of what's happening to them and be able to offer maybe some suggestions. That's really where the horses are so powerful. And the non-judging cannot be underestimated. A horse doesn't care if you are, you know, 20 or 80. It doesn't care if you are thin or not so much. It doesn't care what color you are. It doesn't care if you're rich or poor. It cares about how you show up. Mm-hmm. And are you somebody who can be trusted? And when I say trusted, I mean, they don't care if you're scared. You know, they don't care if you cry. But if you are not really able to show what's going on with you, they might say, oh, well, I'll come back when you are a little bit more transparent. That's really all they're asking. You know, they accept you the way you are completely.
Yeah. If you're not present, though, they may get bored with you.
Yeah. They might say, well, you know, you're not, something is off with you. Let me just go over here in this corner. And then maybe later when you are back with yourself and maybe you are back interested, then I come over and you have seen it yourself, Chris, how amazing that often is. And we always say, well, we don't train the horses like this. This is just how they are.
Yeah.
This is
yeah.
why they're special.
I'm Chris Kington Barker with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, your Central Coast listener-supported radio station. My guests are Kasia Roda and Jutta Thurner, master facilitators of Equus Coaching and co-partners in life coaching with horses, a 501c3. We are talking about life coaching with horses, a nonprofit that offers nonprofits a chance to receive unconditional acceptance, the way that they provide it to others. You can visit the website at www.lifecoachingwithhorses.org. Today's show has been pre-recorded, so Colin is not available. However, if you have questions for JT or Kasia, and you want to get them to her, either one of them, You can call me, or excuse me, you can send an email to my email at Chris, K-R-I-S, at kcbx.org, and I'll make sure it gets to JT and Kasia. And you were talking about, I love this, that the coaching training that you got was how to understand the responses of the horses. So you're actually interpreting what the horses are responding to with the human.
Yes, that could sound, like you said, there's actually a little bit deeper meaning to it. We notice horses' reactions, we notice horses' feedback, mm-hmm. and we make a point from that, but we actually always check with our clients first. Because the bottom line is, it's not about trying to figure out and guessing correctly what the horse thinks. It's about what the horse's reaction means to the client.
Right.
So we check with our clients how they feel about that feedback. How does it impact them? What does it remind them of? It's because it's such a personal process. We always give the reins, so to speak, to our clients, and we let them figure out what works, what's the best in that process for them. We sort of hold a container, we keep the space safe. We help notice things about horses, especially for clients who have no experience with horses. But the work belongs to our clients. We support them, we help them. We don't translate horses. This is not about horse training or, you know, right. a horsemanship lesson. And yet, just by being in the presence of horses and noticing their behavior, a lot of stuff comes up for people, personal human stuff. And people can relate and people can come to conclusions and discoveries about themselves and what's going on for them.
Yeah, I'd love that you clarified that, because one of the, you know, full disclosure, having been there with you and having worked with both of you, it's really an incredible experience, and it's very safe. It's like you said, a beautiful, safe environment. But the thing that is really wonderful about it is that the work is the individual, and it's very safe for them to do their own work on their own time. So there's no pressure from anybody. It's not a therapy session. So yeah. Talk a little bit about how the horses work with grief work, because you mentioned grief work.
So with the grief, I think most people that that are listening probably know, even intuitive, that grief cannot be coached. Grief is mm-hmm. Is something that has its own timeline, and it's and so when we offer grief support with the horses, it is really that. It's a support. So we've had small groups. We have individuals that come, and in the groups, it's often the people, it's quiet time with the horses. Sometimes it's meditation. Sometimes it's an invitation to the person to share the grief with the horse, which are very good in helping carrying the grief. And there's often an immediate way that the person feels lighter, for lack of a better description, and so the horses really are the support system, and we are just there to guide and watch out for safety. And it has been, the ones that we have experienced with people, it has been really very transformative to watch how the people come to the ranch and how they leave.
I want to clarify too that you mentioned these are special horses. Have these horses been trained in any way, or how did you acquire these horses?
This is actually a very, very interesting mix of horses that come from all different situations, and they have various levels of training. And when I say training, there's actually no training for horses to participate in equus coaching. When I say training, I mean some of them have been trained to be ridden. Some of them have been trained to be safe on the ground, you know, just be handled, just general sort of, you know, human to horse connection and exchange. However, you cannot train horses to react or to play out when they are with our clients. Every person brings a different energy, different emotions, and because horses are so objective in their reactions, they will always react to that person versus how they reacted to the previous one, or how they will react to the next, how they will react to the next one. And especially in a group setting, people really can see that when they, when the sessions happen one by one, or exchange one by one, people can see how the same horse, we're talking within a few minutes, will behave differently depending who's standing or who's interacting with them. And that's something that it's not trained. You almost want to say it's the opposite. You want to have the horses open and free to respond as possible, not conditioned. Yeah. Because then that feedback is that more genuine and authentic.
So this is really an innate ability that any horse has naturally.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's incredible. And the horses are not ridden in this experience at all, right? So there's no need for someone to get on the horse to have any experience riding.
No, there's no riding involved. And I sometimes joke and say our liability insurance would have a stroke if all of a sudden the people got on the horse. So it is all on the ground, and which is actually fantastic for the people showing up, because they don't have to worry about it. Many people are either afraid, or they might have limitations otherwise. And so this is why this is open to so many people. And if a person says to us when they come, I'm really scared, mm-hmm. and I often say, fantastic, you will have a great day. Because right there, for them to be willing to come,
yeah.
and willing to try, and us knowing how our horses are and how generally things, you know, evolve, we know that person is just going to be over the moon just by yeah. that. And this is, yeah, so, and I do want to add a little bit about the horses. Our horses, while it's totally correct what Kasia says, you cannot train the horses' response to the people. They are all very safe, meaning they are not going to come and take, you know, a bite out of you, or they're not going to kick you. And we are both trained in safety also, but these horses are, I might say, very sweet horses, very calm horses, yeah. very loving horses. And it is different than maybe going in a different ranch where those horses don't have that kind of attention. And those horses might not be as loving as what you have experienced.
Yeah. And the horses, they probably understand that this is a different kind of work, right?
They do. They do.
This is all they're doing, is this. Yeah. Yeah. What, you know, so if people were to understand the kinds of things that people can do there, can we talk about some of the things that people could learn there for themselves?
So let's start with what people can do. We keep talking about interacting with horses on the ground. And against the popular idea that, well, horses are for riding, you actually can do a lot of things with horses on the ground. And it could be very slow, almost no moving involved moment or time where people just stand next to the horse, maybe exploring physical contact, maybe just watching them, standing next to the horse, breathing together, just grounding, just feeling that presence. There could be some grooming and brushing involved. You'd be surprised how therapeutic that is for both, actually, horses and people involved. And again, it could have lots of different meanings for us humans in our life. There are also different activities that involve a little bit of, you know, planning and trying and figuring out, maybe going around different obstacles, all on the ground, all safe, maybe playing with some movement, having horses loose in a bigger space, and just, you know, figuring out how to guide them around different parts of the arena, whether they're obstacles or other elements. So what happens is people come in, a group comes in, and there's some individual work, and then there's some group work in pairs, in groups of three and four, where people not only interact with horses through movement and some direction, but also they interact with each other through communication, through body language, and figuring out different new ways of connecting. So those are the activities. What people experience, well, people definitely experience the connection with themselves, with oneself, meaning with their emotions, with their body, with the power of how they show up or how they can influence others, with the ripple effect of how they may, you know, speak or act, with that energy that affects others. And then with each other in groups, they experience connection, trust. They get to know each other from different angles, maybe the ways that they've never were able or not allowed to show up at work. They get to know each other a little bit more personally. They get to see that we all are humans and we all experience similar challenges, and that we all really looking for connection and support, and we don't want to be alone in it.
I love the exercises, and we're going to come back and talk about those in just a minute. We're going to take a break, turn it back over to Brad, and Brad, then you'll shoot it back when you're ready.
It's our 50th anniversary on the air, and KCBX listeners are sharing the love.
My name is Bob Clark. KCBX has programming for every part of your brain. The intellectual part, the emotional part, and the moving and grooving part. There is something for every part of your brain, and anytime you want. The DJs are great. They're local. They're really knowledgeable. They have so much institutional knowledge about music. And it's fascinating to listen to them interject in between songs. And the songs they pick out are also just fabulous. Things I would never do on my own. It's been a great part of the community. They seem to know a lot about what's going on around here, and they keep us informed. It's just a great radio station. I'm really glad it's been around. You know, I really love donating to KCBX. I think my money goes far when I donate to KCBX.
Show your support with a donation at kcbx.org.
Hola, I'm Maria Hinojosa. Every Thursday afternoon at 2, you can hear Latino USA on KCBX. Latino USA is a Peabody Award-winning radio journal of news and culture from a Latino-Latina perspective. It chronicles how we're living, shaping, and changing the United States of America. Tune in for in-depth reporting, candid conversations, and fascinating stories. Join me for Latino USA Thursdays from 2 to 3 on KCBX Central Coast Public Radio.
And that's ahead on KCBX Latino USA coming up following this program from 2 till 3. Then it's Fresh Air from 3 to 4, and then a look at the day's business on Marketplace from 4 to 4:30. Right now, let's return to Chris Kington Barker and her guests on Central Coast Voices. Back to you, Chris.
Thank you so much, Brad. Kasia Rother, Jutta Thurner, and our master facilitators of Equus Coaching and co-partners in Life Coaching with Horses, a 501c3 that we've been talking about. It's a nonprofit that offers nonprofits a chance to receive the unconditional acceptance they provide others. And you know what? For no payment. So we're going to talk more about that. You can visit their website at lifecoachingwithhorses, all one word, .org. Today's show has been pre-recorded, so Colin is not available. However, if you have questions or you want to have me relay anything to JT and Kasia, please send them to me at Chris, K-R-I-S, at kcbx.org, and I will be glad to pass them along. We were talking about some of the different activities that you have when you're going into, and there's so many. I mean, you had mentioned coming into this that you have a labyrinth that you use that is on part of the property that can be part of the workshop. And you were talking about how teams learn things about different people. I was reminded of when I was with a nonprofit, and I was teamed up with one of our board members, that we had an exercise where we were working together to navigate a horse through some obstacles. And what showed up very quickly for us was the problem he and I had with our communication, because we had that same problem in trying to communicate what we wanted the horse to do. And the horse just kind of stood there looking at us like, yeah, no, not going to do it. Or if the horse was going to do it, the horse just like took off and went into another direction. And he and I were kind of floundering around, and we both looked at each other like, you know, okay, this is your fault. No, it's your fault. And finally we got it. It was like, no, I think it's our fault. We're not communicating to the horse what we wanted to do. So the learning in that was great, because it made it so that I was much more aware of what I needed to do in communicating with him as a board member in order to establish something. It was a profound learning for me. Do you have other examples of maybe other kinds of things that you use that people have said to you, God, this was a great learning for me?
Yes, we have a lot of fun exercises, and I want to kind of say a little bit about the fun, because we are not always like, it's not super serious and always I mean, there's lots of laughter and lots of learning, like you described, Chris. That's a perfect example in that particular exercise. Yeah, we have people cracking up sometimes about them seeing themselves and realizing what's going on in that team exercise. But we sometimes have small groups, often two or three. And when we talk about how trust is so important for not just the horses, but also for people to experience, we have some special exercises where people have to kind of trust not just the horse, but also their human partner. So you are teamed up with the person and the horse. And it might be that it has to do with maybe guiding the horse around, but you have to trust also your team partner. And it is fascinating to watch people, because we sometimes run two or three of those mini groups. And some people, it's like so easy for them. They just, you know, blaze through that. And then we have people who struggle. And I remember two people that really almost didn't move. The woman was like frozen. And when I reached out to her, it came out that she just totally could not trust that particular person she was actually working with. And it was a big moment for her to open up and say that in a way that was acceptable and accepting. And it turned out later, you know, they came to a good conclusion and it worked out well. But it just shows you that even a small exercise like that can help maybe resolve something festering or resolve something that's been happening for a long time and nobody kind of knew how to address it.
Yeah. Kasia, did you have
I was going to give another example because Chris, when you talked about your experience, you talked about guiding horse, and I can just see how some people are like, well, if I don't have any experience, how am I going to do this? So I want to clarify that all our activities are so simple that nobody needs to have any skills.
Yes. Yeah.
And the part of how to go about some of those activities is in figuring out, in allowing that creativity to come in and try different things. Again, horses are so safe that the ones that we have at the ranch, that even if people, quote, make mistakes, it's not a big deal, but it's watching that process of learning and figuring out and coming with ideas. How are we going to move the 12 pounds of that being around without any skill? So between us explaining some things and then the activities being easy, that's actually possible. And like one of the simplest examples that is so big for me is, it's not single example, but I'm thinking about one person. She came with the group, and when we started the whole experience, she needed one of us between her and the horse because she was so scared of being closer or even touching. And then little by little, by sort of dosing, right, microdosing the contact and the whole experience, by the end of the day, she was leading this horse from point A to B like a big dog. She was hugging the horse and she was trying to figure out how to fit it in her car trunk, take it with her. So anyway, this is the transformation. It's sometimes hard to describe in detail, but it happens in sometimes very obvious way and sometimes in a very subtle way. And yet it's there. It's always there.
I think one of the biggest issues that is pretty much across so many nonprofits that is something the horses are so profound at being able to be a partner in helping us with as humans is boundaries. It is, it's something that as humans, we have a hard time talking with each other about that and get real defensive. But in being shepherded by horses in what is and what doesn't work and what does work as boundaries is such a beautiful thing. And for anybody that I've talked to in the nonprofit world, especially for managers and leaders in nonprofits, it's something that this program is so beautiful about, is about learning how to embrace that. What's your biggest frustration since you've established this program?
That's very easy. The biggest frustration is that we sometimes don't really understand why a free program that is very proven, has always fantastic feedback and reviews, why we're not getting run over by people. Why are we not getting run over by people? I don't get it. I don't get it at all. Well, I do get it because at some point I know, especially with lots of the cuts, the nonprofits are all stretched very thin. There is a lot of turnover in not just in the volunteers, but mostly in the people working there. The number one thing that we hear from the people that come to us, the nonprofits, is we are so exhausted. Yeah. We are so stretched, so thin. And then, of course, I want to jump up and down and say, well, you need to come. You need to come. You need to give yourself half a day. Come on, half a day if you can't do a day. And for nonprofit directors that might be listening, think about this as a gift to your employees and also to your volunteers, and a little bit of maybe hope that you can retain those people with your organization because you are giving them this gift that will cost you $0.
Yeah. And what kind of nonprofits, what kind of services have you already provided services to? Who has used you? It's been a wide array of people, isn't it? It's so that people get an example of the kinds of nonprofits that you've already been able to bring out.
Yes. So among our clients, we have Hospice Flow, we have Lumina Alliance, we have Restorative Partners, we have Resilient Souls. We had, even though it's not a nonprofit, but we felt like that was really fitting, we had several groups of psychology students from Cal Poly. Dr. Barrett brought them for their little half day events to learn about alternative ways of healing. So we also our services are available to first responders, so firefighters, people in healthcare, police force, basically everybody who serves this community to make us feel better, safer, and have our life running as smooth as possible, particularly in difficult, challenging crisis times, but also, you know, all these other people who make our daily life run smoothly.
Is this something that would be available for nurses that are serving? I can see that ER nurses and ICU nurses, and is that something?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, because you're offering it for free, do people think there's a catch?
They do. They do. They think there's a catch. We just were talking with a very large organization, and even so, we had told them the services were free for them. They, in one of the emails, they said, well, you know, we have a very tight budget and we're not really sure how we could do this. And I want to say, oh my God, you know, so I think people are so not used to this concept. And I had somebody, some organization recently said to me, how can you afford that? And I said, well, we can afford it because we are tiny. I said, we're a tiny organization. It's three of us. So it's Kasha, myself, and then another person who's also a sponsor. And then we have a very tiny budget ourselves. And most of us do this work without pay. So the costs are minimal. And I think it boggles people's mind, but they have to understand that that we, Kasha and myself, get as much out of this as they do when they come. Often, yeah. When we introduce ourselves, we often say the same thing in different versions, and that is that it makes us happy to have this day with you when you come to the ranch and see how people really have aha moments, how they take this home, how they just, you know, it's like, I mean, if I was a poet, I would say a flower opening, you know, it's like that. I mean, why wouldn't we love that? Why don't we want to give back now? You know, I like to give back to my community, to the San Luis Obispo County community now while I'm alive.
I think that's wonderful. I do. What, if someone was wanting to come, how many people would they need to have to sign up? And do you sometimes combine groups? If you have a couple of small groups that come in, what do they need in order to register, or what needs to happen?
Yeah. So our group size is from 6 to 12 people. That's sort of the ideal size. Mm-hmm. So under 6, that's what we would recommend, you know, maybe mixing groups, finding somebody else who would want to come and join if there are only two or three people from one organization. That's also great because it gives people a chance to connect and build new connections. And if there's a bigger group than 12, we can look at a few options, either dividing the group and having people come, on numerous days, or we may bring extra facilitator who will help us handle bigger group. 6 to 12 is sort of optimum to make sure that everybody has plenty attention, plenty experience, enough time to go through the process without being rushed or sort of pressured. But yeah, we have ways to handle bigger groups if we need to. And then, you know, people just need to contact us through the website. There's a tab, contact us. They can send us information. There's also a phone number available. They can call us. We like when people call us and have some ideas about scheduling half day or full day ahead of time. As Yuta said, this is what we do for love and passion, but both of us do have other daily jobs that keep us going. So we need to be able to schedule things ahead. We have lots of flexibility thanks to the lifestyle and jobs we have, but it takes time to make sure that whatever date an organization is looking for, that we can either move our things or accommodate them with another time. So
when you are working with a nonprofit, if they've decided that there's something particular that they want to do, like say they want to have a bonding experience for the team, or they want to focus on something, is that something that you can design around?
Yeah, we are actually, that's actually one of our specialties, and also something that we both enjoy is doing like a customized day or a customized half day. Also, of course, if you have an organization that brings that to us and say, you know, we like to do teamwork, or we like a rest and a rejuvenation day, if they tell us that, it will make, of course, the experience for the whole team so much more meaningful.
I don't know. So you would get in touch, they would leave a message just of what they're looking for. You'll call back and you can design all of that around what their needs are.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Can you give an idea of what a workshop might look like?
Sure. So let's say it's a half day workshop.
Yeah.
Depending on the weather, we may schedule it for the morning before lunch or after lunch timing. So we look at the weather and we look at the timing that works for the team. So half day. So the group, or let's talk about morning option. So the group arrives, we send out directions, help people, you know, prepare for such event. We let them know what to wear, what else they may need to for a time at the ranch, sort of in outdoor conditions. We also provide coffee, snacks, and drinks for our participants. So people arrive, we invite people to come a few minutes earlier before scheduled time, which is usually between 8:30 and 9 o'clock. So they can socialize, also, you know, just organize themselves in the new space. Sometimes we have a couple of formalities to take care of. And then we begin our day with usually introductions. Again, depending on the objective of the workshop, we decide where we're going to meet. Sometimes it's just in a nice open space, in a circle, sitting down. Sometimes we may meet with horses in the arena. Sometimes we may even go to a paddock that has several horses. So it really, location and the exact style will depend on what we're doing that day. And then after introductions and checking with people's sort of intentions and hopes for the outcome, we proceed with our activities, and we sort of go with the flow of the group. We have ideas for activities, what we're going to do, and yet we also watch how people respond. So we may have a couple activities available on the side, and watching our clients show up and go through the experience, we may change order just a little bit to really make sure that people are in a supportive environment, that they go at the pace they are ready for, that nobody feels overwhelmed. So we'll just go in a half day. We most likely will go through three different activities. And again, the horse exposure and depth of particular activity depends on the theme, and it's sort of gradually dosed throughout the time, not to overwhelm, but build our people up throughout the process.
And you, do you recommend a full day workshop as opposed to a half one, or does it make a difference?
I would always tell people come for the full day. It's just, we can just go a little bit deeper, and we can also include certain exercises that we cannot in half a day because they just take too long with setup. The labyrinth, which is really magical and wonderful. I know you have experienced it the last time you were there. Mm-hmm. We only do in the full day. It just doesn't work out otherwise. So yeah, but the reason we are now offering so many more half days is because what I said earlier, the nonprofits cannot spend a whole day often with their staff. You know, right. they might do a Friday, people work half a day, and then they come to us. That's not uncommon.
Is this available on weekends?
It is available on weekends. We prefer not to do it on a Sunday for different reasons, but yes, it is available on a Saturday. Absolutely.
Okay. Talk a little bit about the accommodations, because you talk about through the year. So sometimes it rains. Is this all uncovered, or do you have covered areas where you can accommodate for inclement kinds of weather?
So we are very lucky to have access to a big covered arena, which we can have two different sort of working stations under that arena, which helps either with a very hot day or with a rainy day. Other than that, we might be going, we'll spend time outside. So again, depending on the conditions, we will adjust our activities to make sure that we can help people with some comfort. We have a couple indoor spaces to either have time sit down and process what's going on, or even just if the group decides to have a lunch, to have lunch in a nice indoor conditions. So of course, if there's like severe heat or severe cold, covered arena is not going to do, because simply the air is not going to feel good. But with some adjustments, we can do activities through most of the year. We do have blankets when it gets a little chilly. We do have space with a heater that people can go and warm up. We always have a hot coffee or hot tea. So, you know, extreme conditions, that's kind of obvious that we would, you know, take that under consideration. But we really can do a lot of stuff throughout the year. And during summer, when it's usually a little warmer, those half days in the mornings are perfect.
Yeah, they're really nice up here. Yeah. What have we not said that you want to make sure that we get across for listeners?
Maybe the one thing I would like to remind also people that our main services are meant for nonprofits in this community, We, of course, also would love people to come out as individuals, as couples, businesses with a nice budget who would like to donate. Would be fantastic. We would love them to show up. And you can find all of that in more detail on our website. So just if somebody listens to this and says, well, I would like to come. I'm not a nonprofit. Well, absolutely. You know, there is some fees with that. But we welcome other people also.
Do you work with Sliding Scale on fees, for instance, if people wanted to come out for some grief work?
Absolutely. Grief work, I don't think we've ever asked money for. People are often gracious and donate a little bit because we do have to, of course, lease the ranch. But in general, no, I don't. We don't. That's part of the no money scale, the grief work.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, Kasia.
There are ways if people when like nonprofits, our services are free, and yet people can help us to get the word out there, to share about their experiences on social media and with other organizations, and just by word of mouth, tell people about us, tell that we exist, so more people can contact us and benefit from our services.
Okay, I really want to thank my guest today for being here and sharing this. I really want to encourage you to go to the website, lifecoachingwithhorses.org. Get your questions answered. If you do want to have any questions sent forward to Kasia and Yuta, you can send them to me, Chris, K-R-I-S, at kcbx.org, and I'll make sure it gets directed to them. I appreciate your time, and I want to thank Kasia Brother and Yuta Thurner, Master Facilitators of Equus Coaching and co-partners in Life Coaching with Horses, 501c3. Today's show was pre-recorded. I want to thank Brad for always being my wingman. And I'm Chris Kankton Barker. Thank you for joining me on KCBX and being a listener and supporter of Central Coast Voices.